We've come now to a very, very important passage of Scripture. We're dealing with the third great warning in the book of Hebrews. You remember we had the first warning in chapter 2, not to neglect so great salvation. It's great because it was God's, because it's eternal, and because it's perfect, and because it can be yours. And then the second great warning was in chapters 3 and 4, where it's possible for the people of God not to enter into rest, the rest of faith, the rest of God. And I just point out that unbelief is a terrible thing. It's a product of an evil heart. And if continued in, it produces hardness. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The word of God is always, always for today. Now we come to chapter 5, starting at verse 11 and running right through chapter 6. We have the third warning. And the third warning has to do with the danger of declension. The danger of not going on to maturity, to full growth. The danger of so many who never grow, they're just babes. And sometimes they've become damaged. And so in chapter 5, 11 to 14, there is given to us some marks of spiritual degeneration, or the lack of growth. Now, it's very obvious that when we come to this, that there's a reason for it. In chapter 5, we've had the announcement in the passage, both in verse 6 and in verse 10, that Jesus Christ was called a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What the writer would like to do is, he would like to talk about the Melchizedek priesthood, which he does when we come to chapter 7. But it would be a waste of time for him to talk about our Lord's heavenly ministry and his royal ministry when they were not satisfied that the work of Christ on the cross was sufficient. There could be no need for a high priest if his work on the cross was not sufficient. The very fact that our Lord went into heaven means that his work at the cross for sinners was completed, was sufficient, and was perfect. There would be no high priestly work of Christ, and I'm repeating this, if Christ's work on the cross does not give to us an eternal perfect salvation. I remember one time some years ago speaking in a Bible conference in the state of Washington, and the one who was to be with me in the services, in the convention, couldn't come because of physical infirmity. And, you know, I was really in heaven. I had 2 hours in the morning, and I had 2 hours in the afternoon, and I had a meeting at night. That's pretty good, wasn't it? So they sent someone else to kind of help me out. Well, while we were waiting for someone to come, I was having these 5 or 6 meetings a day, and I took occasion in one of the sessions to speak on Christ's present ministry. Now, I did not give them an exposition of Hebrews, but I talked about Christ's present ministry. After one of the services, a preacher came to me and he said, "Mr. Mitchell, according to your doctrine, my whole denomination is wrong." Well, I said, forget about my doctrine and forget about your denomination and its doctrine. What does the Bible say? Now, I happen to know what his doctrine was. And so I just took out a pencil and I drew on a piece of paper the cross and then made a circle on the resurrection side of the cross, the church, and then the Lord's return for his own, just those. Now I said, "You believe in what Christ did at the cross, do you not?" He said, "Yes." "And you believe in the coming of the Lord." "That's right. But you don't believe in Christ's present ministry." "You don't need Christ's present ministry. You say when a Christian sins, he has to go back to the cross. And I say that when a Christian sins, he has to go to the throne. Christ will never be on the cross again. He will never be again crucified. And he's not on the cross today. He is on the throne." Now, I have oftentimes said this. At the cross, we see the riches of his grace. On the throne, we see the riches of his glory. The riches of grace at the cross fits believing sinners for the presence of God. Our Lord's present ministry in heaven on the throne of grace meets my present need according to his riches in glory. What I'm trying to get to your heart is this. If Christ had not finished the work of redemption, he could not be a high priest in heaven. So the writer of Hebrews apparently sees that these Hebrew Christians are not fully satisfied with what Christ did at the cross. So, before he can talk about Christ's high priestly work after the order of Melchizedek, he must straighten them out on the completeness of Christ's work on the cross and in resurrection. I'm giving you this as a background, and unless we see this, we will miss what the Spirit of God is trying to give to us. Now, first of all, in chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, we have this matter of spiritual degeneration. Allow me to read it to you. Talking about Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let me just stop here. Don't start chapter 6 without getting this part. The argument starts in chapter 5, verse 11. When for the time you ought to be teachers, instead of you teaching the word of God, which you should be doing, I've got to feed you again on milk. I've got to take you right back to the first principles of the oracles of God. I've got to take you right back to first things. And if you take the sixth chapter, in the first two verses, we have some of those first things. Now notice what they were. Of whom, talking about the high priestly work of Christ after Melchizedek, there are many things I want to say, but he said, you are dull of hearing. This is the first sign of spiritual declension mentioned here. They were dull of hearing. They were not troubled with teaching, but with hearing. You remember in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11, where the prophet Amos says, the time is coming when there shall be a famine, not for bread or for water, but for the hearing of the word of God. You know, a person can go to church, a fundamental church, a conservative church, and the man can be preaching the word of God and you not hear it. That is, you can hear it with your ears, but your mind is on something else. In fact, I challenged one man one time when he asked me some questions. I said, weren't you there last Sunday morning? Yes, but I didn't hear you say that. Well, I said, everybody else did. What were you doing, working on some scheme for your business next week? And he kind of laughed. And I know that there were times when he would sit with a piece of paper and work out some schemes of business for the next week. His ears heard what I said, but he was dull of hearing. He was sluggish in hearing the word of God. Just like in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first verse. Do you remember we read, and the word of God was precious in those days. Now that sounds as if they loved it. No, just the opposite. If I change the wording, and the word of God was rare in those days. Precious, yes, but it was rare. Eli was the priest, and his sons were in moral corruption, and the word of God was rare. That was when God came on the scene and talked to Samuel. And sometimes I wonder today, with all the Bibles and all the churches and all the classes and all the meetings that go on in our precious land, I wonder if it's not true that a great many thousands of people who attend churches are dull of hearing. They're sluggish in their hearing. And God wants us to grow. But friend, you can't make progress in the spiritual life without heeding the word of God. So the writer goes on to say, I would like to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. You've been so long on the way, and by the way, to rebuke, he just rebukes them. When for the time you've been a Christian, when you should be giving out the word of God, you're always on the receiving end. You know, and I'm going to be very realistic and frank about this. There are some Christians who have been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they've been in good gospel preaching, Bible teaching churches, have never got down to the place of passing it on to somebody else. In fact, they act like babies. They had to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. Oh, listen, I sincerely hope I'm not talking to Christians. Some of you folk have been Christians for a great many years, and you're always on the receiving end. In fact, a great many Christians, I'm going to be blunt, many Christians go to church, and they're able to criticize the preacher. They're able to criticize what is said, and they sit smugly in their seats and never pass the word of God to somebody else. In fact, sometimes they say, oh, I've heard that all my life. I know all about that. Yes, but you're acting like a baby. You're not acting like a mature Christian. If you really are mature, then you ought to be passing it on and helping somebody else know the truth. By the way, what do you go to church for? What do you go to church for? Hear a preacher? Or do you go to worship the Lord, to praise Him, and to be instructed out of the Word of God, to have your heart and your mind open to receive what God has for you? Let us not be sluggish. Now, here's a rebuke to these Hebrew Christians. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. Notice what he says. You're acting like babies. You become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat, strong doctrine, belongs to those who are of full age. I want to talk to you about the present ministry of Christ who is after the order of Melchizedek. But you're just acting like babes. You're hanging around the cross when you should be at the throne. You're occupied with Christ's past ministry. And listen, I am not minimizing for 1 minute the precious work of Christ on the cross. But God wants us to go on to maturity. And you do not go on to maturity hanging around the cross. Our Lord is on the throne. He works all things out after the counsel of His own will. He's been given the place of preeminence. He's on the throne of grace, administering mercy and grace. And our fellowship, and I say this reverently, our fellowship is not with the one on the cross. Our fellowship is with the one on the throne. I say again, I am not minimizing the wonderful work of our Savior at the cross. It was there He put away our sins. It was there He met all the demands of the character and law of God for you and me. It was there we were cleansed from sin. But friend, He's on the throne today, administering glory, riches of glory. And let us not act like babies. Let's not be dull of hearing. Let us not be sluggish in our lives. Let us discipline ourselves and find out the truth of God and be able to communicate that truth to somebody else. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, if you keep truth to yourself, it'll dry up. It's as you give it out, it multiplies. I like that story of the little fellow. He will give up his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord. And the Lord took what the boy gave him and gave it to his disciples, and they fed the multitude. And as they gave it out, it multiplied until everybody was satisfied. Not just the boy was satisfied, not just Andrew was satisfied, but the 5,000 were satisfied. So you go to church, you go to Bible class, and you receive truth. Do you want more truth? Then pass on what you have. And the more you give away, the more you get. That's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. The more you give away, the more you get. The more truth you give away, the more it becomes riveted in your own heart and life. It becomes part of you. And you grow, and you grow, and you grow. And he says here in the last verse, strong meat are not for babies. Strong meat are for those who are mature. Now let me look at this for a moment. These people had the capacity of babes, but not of men and women. You know, babyhood, listen to what I'm going to say now. Babyhood is wonderful in only one place, and that's in babies. I remember a fellow saying, do you know, and he said it so sadly, for a whole year I had to live on milk. And everybody was feeling sorry for him, and he said, I was a baby. Of course, today you get your canned stuff down there in the store, and you push a hole in the can, and out comes some stuff. Boy, I'm glad I wasn't living. I'm glad I wasn't a baby today. When I was born into the world, I fed on mother's milk, and I don't know how long, but I fed on a lot on mother's milk, not on strained spinach and strained meat and no more said about that. You see, spiritual perception and discernment are signs of spiritual maturity. That's what he's saying here. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, the Corinthian church is a good sample of spiritual babyhood. And the Corinthian church gloried in their teachers, and they gloried in good preaching, and they gloried in all the gifts of the Spirit. And yet, they were spiritual babies. Do you want a verse for that? I'll give you four of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Four times in four verses, he said, you're carnal, you're carnal. I've got to speak unto you as unto babes. I can't give you good, strong meat. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, Ephesians 4, 13 to 14, we're to throw off the old man, put on the new man who was created, not to act like babies. In 1 Peter 2:2, now here's a good one, especially for young Christians. And this is for young Christians. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I say again, babyhood is wonderful in babies. And I'm very sorry to say that a great many Christians, professing Christians, are nothing else but spiritual babies, and they've never grown. Now, I've got to say this. Now, I know we can rationalize some of these things. We can say, well, I go to a church and my pastor doesn't feed me on the Word of God. But you've got a Bible. You've got the Spirit of God indwelling you. And you can grow in the things of Christ. God hasn't made every preacher a Bible teacher. God has given different gifts to His people. And the tragedy is we don't use those gifts. It may be you're a layman. And God's given you the gift of teaching. Why don't you teach? In Sunday school, young people's meetings. Hold Bible classes in your homes. Get out with the Word of God, and I'll guarantee to you, the more you give away, the more you get. As one man said to me, after taking a Bible class for 6 months, he said, you know, two things. I've come to know, first of all, that I know so little. And secondly, I can find myself growing in the things of Christ. And the more he gave away, the more he got. And you know, this calls for discipline. This means to get right into the Word of God and feed on it. Let us not be spiritual babes, spiritually dull, sluggish in our hearing of the Word of God, but let us go. Let us make progress in the things of Christ. And if you're a babe in Christ or a carnal Christian, and you need to be taught the first things of the things of God, well, go ahead and learn the things of the Spirit of God first. The very first essentials of the basic truths of the gospel. Go back and learn them so you're able to give them out to somebody else. May they become a living reality in your life And you can only impart what lives in you. I can only impart what lives in me. Now read Hebrews 6, will you, for our next lesson, and the Lord bless you today.